What's going on, Blink 182, man? I heard something about Tom, about aliens.
Tom's my good friend. He is pursuing his journey in finding UFOs and aliens.
Did you like it?
Baba Vanga is my other car.
It's even weirder when you say it that way. Baba Vanga is my other car. I don't know. I was thinking about that when I was driving to work today, and I was like, "What? Why? What? That doesn't make any sense. It makes literally no sense."
Well, it's my other car is a Baba Vanga.
I know that.
It still
that
makes no
doesn't
sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
Sure, it does. It's that when I'm not driving this, I'm living in the future, man. It's like a
you keep
mindset.
Saying it like that helps make sense of it.
It still doesn't make sense.
It's a way of living. It's more of like a philosophy.
Maybe.
The
it's a stretch, but I'll
way.
Take it.
Oh, of course it's a stretch.
All right. Well, anyway, so I think we can get going. I think we're probably, I think levels are good. I'm pretty sure levels are good. So this is Did You Reddit, a weekly podcast about the internet, but we've read it at the front page of the internet. My name is It's Your Dad.
I am Dog Boobs.
It's my free day down here. Third base.
We're two episodes, second episode of season. We're still season one. I thought it would be weird if I made it season two because it was just why.
Yeah.
So we're in episode whatever.
Are we just
65,
gonna have one
maybe,
super long season?
I mean,
the only reason I would say you could do it now is because it's a new year and it's like a
But that's so arbitrary. And I was like, I don't think Rogan doesn't do it by seasons.
I mean, we've been using the year structure for a
Marin
bunch.
Doesn't do it by seasons.
Maybe we just say this is episode 64. Welcome back.
Yeah, probably could have done that.
You know what? Yeah, I don't know if we need seasons.
Yeah. I think that's where we're netting out. We don't need seasons.
Yeah.
We just need numbers.
We just need numbers. But anyway, we're doing this. So this is another night pod.
Thank.
We bailed on the morning pod this week. So we got some special special episode. We're drinking beers.
Yep.
Eating Kratom pills.
Kratom.
Crunching down on Kratom pills.
Crunching Kratom pills.
You know what?
And
that's it.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're minor investors in a head shop.
Yep.
Head shops are so cool.
They are pretty cool.
You can get bath salts, kratom,
salvia.
All kind of flavored salvia.
I've got a protein shake in my car. We want to get really fucked up.
Really jacked.
Fucked up and do push-ups by the end of it.
Jacked up.
Anyway, so if you want to hit us up, I know you guys hear this every week, but hit us up. Hi, didjureddit.com. Quick announcement as well. I know we brought this up last week. We ended up getting the Patreon up, so the Patreon account is up. If you want to contribute, that'd be lovely. We've got some crazy prizes. And then we just officially opened the DigiReddit store for merch. So
yes.
we're going to be coming out with new merch lines. We're doing it through, what's the name of that company?
Threadless.
So in theory, if you go to Threadless and you search DigiReddit, you can also find some designs. But if you just go to Threadless's individual user shops, or we'll obviously put a link on our Facebook page. I'll probably put a link in this description as well.
And on our website, shop, it links to that.
There we go. Yeah. So
we got a couple of designs up right now.
Couple designs.
More to come.
And there's going to be more to come. We basically, we're going to be cranking them out with maximum haste, I think.
And we have a couple different Suzuki jet skis to choose from.
I would like
to point out that we have one follower on our Threadless account.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Someone named Lena's was here.
Oh, that's one of my other accounts.
Oh, really?
Lena.
It's my wife.
It's something
is that how they work on Threadless? You can just follow someone's shit?
That's cool. If you're an individual t-shirt maker and you make cool stuff.
Yeah, you get fans.
I'm all about buying one like small batch t-shirts right now.
I'm into that. I bought five almost identical black metal shirts today.
Ooh, cool. Nice.
They're all black with white font and like scribbly writing.
And a couple skulls.
Skulls and a few like anarchy
literally,
signs.
That's it. That's exactly. One is for this band called The Body that I love. One's for a band called Fool of Hell. One's called Vermint Womb. One is called
Neck Fat.
Yeah, Neck Fat.
Neck
it's a band
fat.
Called Wreckmeister Harmonies that I love. And what was the last one?
Wreckmeister Harmonies.
Wreckmeister Harmonies is sick. It's not. It's kind of metal. It's kind of like experimental.
It sounds like Def Jam meets metal or something.
It's pretty crazy. But from this place called Holy Mountain Print or something like that, which
sick.
Is a fucking sick company. But anyway, so if you guys want shirts about Did You Reddit stuff, go do that. And we're also getting a couple other things that we're going to make available probably on our Patreon and or maybe not through the website. We got to figure out how it works. But we're just having fun, guys. So you can, you know, you can go purchase some shit, tell your friends, whatever you got to do. Remember, rate, like, etc. Anyway, moving on to the goods. So this week, this is actually a request from a friend, who I'm not going to tell you who the friend is because why would I? It's not the HOFA show, though. Maybe it is HOFA show. It doesn't matter. But
friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Let's just call him Dwayne.
Dwayne.
Let's call him Deborah.
Let's just call him
Deborah.
HOFA show.
HOFA show.
For short.
Show.
He gave us an interesting article, a conspiracy-based article that we wanted to kind of dig into. And it led us down an interesting rabbit hole, starting with one of my favorite bands from when I was probably 11 till probably 31.
Now.
It's Blink-182. So should we, before we get really deep into Blink, was there anything that happened on Reddit that's worth talking about from the last week?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, I know there's been a lot of Trump stuff going on that kind of takes over everything.
Right.
But apart from that, I know it sucks. A lot of people are talking about the new book, Fire and Fury. Yeah.
Did that come out this week?
Uh-huh. It's available on Amazon, but don't buy it because everybody you know has a PDF of it, including yours truly.
That's true.
So, yeah.
I don't know. Do we get in trouble for saying that?
No one can prove it. So... people logic, have been, something that's been funny that's been ongoing the past couple weeks has been people saying, oh my God, we've got 2018, the new Keanu Reeves pictures.
Yeah.
And so
oh, right.
Those are
they
great.
they got all these Keanu Reeves pictures coming up, which
wait, what does that
gotta
mean?
Gotta love them. It's become a meme over the years. I think since sad Keanu Reeves
on
the
bench. Oh, so there's this new... I saw there was one
him.
Of him on a motorcycle that was
yes,
making his
there was
rounds.
Another one mm-hmm. of him in like a convenience store, and it was like a, you know, 9-year-old girl, and like he was just being really cool and like taking
right.
a picture with
yeah.
her.
That's cool.
I think the thing is with him, he's kind of this private guy who's sort of like seems very mellow and,
right.
and he's had this crazy life. Like a lot of people in his life have died.
Really?
Yeah, like all of his friends have died. He was
oh
like
my
his
God.
Friends with like River Phoenix and then oh, he died. Like he's
brutal.
Got this crazy story. He's like lost people. And so I think he's kind of this like I don't know, like people have he's got this sweet spot
right.
people have for him. And then on the flip side you hear nice stories about him that he's friendly with strangers and then
he
like,
seems
these
sweet.
Pictures pop mm-hmm. up and like he's like doing the right thing and everyone's like, Keanu, cool guy.
Did you see the photo? I think it was making its rounds on Reddit, of course, of him. It was like during the really intense sexual accusations.
Looking at it.
It was his two girls and he was posing with them and he kind of had like a traditional like arms around their, you know, like the way people pose for photos. But both of his hands are like 6 inches from their bodies.
Yeah. But he's
really?
Doing the hover hand.
Yeah, he's doing the hover hand.
But the
oh,
caption
awesome.
Says, yeah. like, so you're telling me I can dodge lawsuits? No, Neo. I'm telling you that when the time comes, you won't have to. Pretty funny stuff.
That's amazing. So this is a week of Keanu Reeves. This is the week of the snow fucking whatever you call it.
Yeah,
snow bomb.
The bomb cyclone.
I think it was called an ass blast.
The ass blaster. Lord's
yeah.
ass blast. It was pretty fucking bad. I mean, we live in California, as it's been well documented on this pod. So we life has been literally perfect for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had no worries.
Well,
that's
yeah, but we
landslides.
Did all just like die in a massive fire.
Well, we fired.
We had
landslides.
Our thing.
We
yeah.
had our thing.
But we're good now.
LA relatively unscathed, knock on wood. But
we're
thinking
slides,
of all you
bro.
People in Snowland.
Yeah, good luck.
Good
well,
luck.
The East Coast froze, hell. The West Coast burned, and then it rained, and then it mudslid.
Right.
And there's 48 people missing
yeah.
in mud right now.
It's
like,
bad.
It's pretty brutal.
I read some guy like left his house to go pick up something from the drugstore, came back, and his whole family was gone.
Oh.
His house, his kids, his
no
wife.
No way.
Yeah.
Sounds like Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, fuck that movie.
That movie was
the
great.
Worst. This is a title so great. Back to Keanu Reeves for a second. Keanu Reeves is accused by several women of taking them on nice dates. It's a New York Times article. That's
they
the
have
headline.
They oh, have really? Something yeah. like that. People have been posting about Tom Hanks. And
that's
every
funny.
Time I see it, my heart stops because I'm
right.
like, if Tom Hanks is a fucking sleaze, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, Stanley was last week, right? We already talked about that.
Yeah.
yeah. And that was kind of
old, dirty old man.
Oh, James Franco's the new one this week.
But then doesn't everybody realize that, though? I feel like it's kind of his brand.
He was sending dick pics before it was cool. Like,
yeah,
I
you
mean,
know what?
This has been a well-documented
thing. Yeah, and what bothers me about this one is, like, the selective outrage.
Totally.
Because this, he did something wrong. He was texting a 17-year-old girl while she was on a family vacation to New York City, asking her to come to his apartment.
That's pretty brutal.
He didn't know
super
that.
Duper gross.
Did he know she was 17?
Yeah.
Oh.
She said she was, she's like, I'm not 18 yet. So, gross.
Right.
That's gross. Total right. predatory behavior.
Right.
But that happened like 5 years ago.
Yes.
And no one gave a shit.
But this recent one is some new girl who was accusing him. But then I
think
like,
it was his ex girlfriend.
It was his ex. So when you look into the story more, it was his ex girlfriend. And then there's like posts of her saying, when I meet some, I'm thinking of how I can destroy their lives. Like, you look into her,
Jesus
like,
Christ.
She specifically is like, kind of crazy and like has a history of it on Twitter. So this one seems kind of fraudulent.
Yeah.
And they were dating. Right. I don't know. It's weird.
It's weird.
Really, man, that's where I get very upset when I start hearing these stories. Cause it's like, I have a friend actually who's, and we won't belabor this. I know we've kind of talked about this thing a lot in the last couple of weeks, but who hasn't, to be completely honest. And you know, this is about contemporary culture. So as well. But I have a friend who's an older woman and she's like, I hate the way people are talking about this because it really does a lot of damage to the people that have actually had real things happen.
It does.
Right. Because every time you're just like,
every time you get a false rape claim or a false, it just makes it that much harder for the real victims out there. And
I mean, there was the one with Michael Douglas too, where he was like somebody he worked with 30 years ago said something. And then he was like digging a little bit and he was like, she's like, seems like she's a blogger trying to get a book deal.
Mm.
So it was one of those things. So he found out that she was trying to sell the story.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, who knows? This is a little bit he said, she said, but he found out she was trying to sell the story. So he like reached out to Hollywood Reporter, one of those, you know, massive Hollywood. And he was like, I want to talk about the story before, mm-hmm. before the story was talked about me. And it was kind of just like, he did a good job talking about like the greater overall situation of kind of like, this is kind of where we are as a society. I've done my best to work on this. This is a real shame. We need to be a little bit more scrupulous about it. But
then
anyway.
It brought up his dad, who is even worse.
Oh, really?
Fuck the Kirk Douglas Theater in Culver City.
Shit.
I'm gonna egg
who
it tonight.
Who did he rape when...
Natalie Wood, when she was like 15. Yeah. Brutally raped her. Yeah.
Dang.
Everyone knew it too.
That's brutal.
But you know what? You know when Love Was Simple? Back when we were listening to Blink-182.
Back when we were listening to Blink-182. When we were speculating about... aliens, etc. So so we want to talk about Blink.
The sexy nurse made me want to get into medicine.
She's a famous porn star. What was
even that? I thought Janine. She was sexy.
Janine.
I don't know if she has. I don't think you need a last name in porn, which is cool.
She looks.
She looked like a mom. I feel like she's the ultimate older woman.
The
I think
MILF.
She started the MILF.
She did.
Domino. She was one of the first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, her story is actually kind of effed up. Like
Janine Lindemalder.
So she was. Whoa. You know, every boy in the 90s was like, who's the hottest chick ever? Like Janine, whoever. And then you sort of, then she becomes a porn star. Then she gets into meth and then she goes to jail.
Oh, really? Oh,
and then she gets out of jail and gets off meth and then gets back into porn because she like needs money. And
yeah,
it's like,
all
it's like
she knows.
You know, it's like the last chapter depressing version. And now I think she's, I don't know, dude, is she alive?
She is alive.
She looks rough.
She does not look
good
anymore.
You know, it was like a rough story.
Damn. I feel bad for her.
You know, God.
But here's the thing.
Porn stories sometimes
don't end well. She looks really rough, but her face is really pretty.
She's got a really pretty face.
It's a styling problem.
As a styling problem. I mean,
the lighting in jail.
And a meth problem.
The lighting in jail is terrible.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, porn in this context is an interesting question because you end up having a lot of these. I mean, we're in a strange place with porn, right? Because we have people like that, who this is like the story that, you know, I think this is like the cautionary tale.
Well, yeah, it's like, it seems like this great fantasy. The reality is really depressing.
Right. And but then the flip side is we also have people like Sasha Gray. And then who's the really famous one? She's Arabic. She's Muslim from.
She went to Florida State. That's all I know.
What's her name?
I remember hearing about her years ago.
She's Mia Khalifa.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mia Khalifa is like become like a sports commentator and just kind of like this funny person starting with porn, but then she was and now she's like she has like a successful like personality.
The question is, can you transition? And it's seemingly yes more now.
Well, I mean,
it's kind of more acceptable.
Well, the Instagram world, I think, necessitates or actually allows the kind of the Mia Khalifas of the world to have a pretty successful career, even despite porn, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, fuck, look at Cardi B, dude. Cardi B was like, that was her whole thing, and she was a stripper.
I don't even know who Cardi B is.
Oh, wow. That's
Bodak Yellow? Impressive. Where have you been?
Yeah.
What? I mean, you guys are literally speaking.
Bodak Yellow is the, like, kind of pop, like, biggest pop song of 2017, I guess.
It's the biggest song for white girls this yikes. Year.
Really?
I mean,
wow.
Every white girl got onto the Bodak so Yellow Cardi, song, like,
Cardi
months
B,
late.
All of her right. pictures are, like, pretty tits out.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not a way to say, like, really cool. Her tits are actually out. So she's a rapper. What's her song? What's it called?
Bodak Yellow. She's been on. She's now very famous. Like, she's a very
she's
successful.
She's pretty hilarious.
She,
and awesome.
She was a stripper.
She was a stripper, which is fine. I mean, we're not passing judgment on any of that shit. I mean, Kim Kardashian's whole career is predicated on a sex tape too, right? But
and Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton.
Also, it's the oldest fucking job in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm saying
sex
is
work
like,
is totally fine.
There are ways to, saying there are ways to transition out of sex work, I guess, is like the equivalent of saying, like, you can be a Hollywood movie star too, right?
Yeah.
But
I'm so glad I don't know Bodak Yellow or
Cardi. It's a good song, though.
It's a good song. Anyway, the reason so.
It says a lot
Janine,
about me as a person.
It says a lot about you as a person. So, Janine, the cover of Enema of the State, the famous Blink-182 song that didn't really get their career going, but it was certainly. That was like their breakthrough, you know what I mean? I was like, What's My Age Again? And
yeah.
I think Adam's song was on that shit. And
you guys ever got an enema before?
No, yeah. I haven't.
Not. That's a good.
But
I don't think so.
Cool.
That's a good question. I mean, it's a good.
You probably have. You had back surgery? They do that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I had one.
That sounds fun.
It was really awkward. It happened in broad daylight with a nurse that was younger than my mom.
Oh, and wait, wasn't that? That was the sexy nurse, right? Or was it a female nurse?
Was it like Janine kind of nurse?
I do not remember talking about a sexy nurse.
It was the attractive nurse that you had a crush on?
No, there was that. Like,
oh, the man. Yeah. Oh, he wasn't a nurse. He was an anesthesiologist.
It would have been. I mean, that's like straight out of an 80s sitcom. Like,
right.
Yeah.
A hot male nurse that you have a crush on.
Has to give you an enema.
Yeah. That's anyway. Cool. That's a good plot.
So, Blink-182. So, let's get some of the stats on this. I think this is an interesting community for a few different reasons.
It is.
Particularly because we're at a time now where the fetishization of this era is coming around, right? Like we've seen this, you know, every era has got a little bit of like it makes a comeback and everybody's into X thing again really yeah. intensely.
Like a lot of kids born in 2005 are wearing plaid and right. having fun.
Having fun. So all right, so Boobs, do you want to do the breakdown?
I
of this?
Do. Okay, this is reddit.com/r/blink182. There are 21,748 sexy people. And then here's how it goes. You can buy band merch if you want. You can contribute. And it says, the Blink-182 subreddit is here to discuss all things related to the band Blink-182. If you hear about any breaking Blink-182 news, which when's the last time anyone's heard breaking Blink-182 news?
We'll get to that. So
I mean, kind of recently.
Until now. Yeah. Please right. submit it as soon as possible. Check the new queue to see if it's already been posted. Do not be disrespectful. You can make fun of each other as long as you make it obvious that you're joking.
That's funny because Blink-182 was like, that was their kind of their whole shtick yeah. is like being extremely disrespectful.
Do not post links to copyrighted content. Do not try to sell your items in the sub. Do not post pictures of YouTube comments. Do not post pictures of Reddit comments. Do not post pictures where the only relevance to the band are the numbers 182.
That's amazing.
That is so dumb. But you can mark NSFW pictures with an NSFW tag and NSFW label. Offensive language does not qualify as NSFW in this subreddit.
That's hilarious.
So cool.
Man, I think I'm the only one here who has a intimate relationship with Blink-182 because this was kind of the band that I grew up as a drummer. I was really into drumming growing up, and this was kind of the band. I think a lot of people like this.
Yeah.
This is the band that got me into drumming, and Travis Barker specifically. I just remember listening to him and being like, fucking Jesus Christ, that guy can drum. I want to play like that. And he also had a style that was not particularly influenced by, it wasn't like jazzy or anything like that. It was like he had a pretty straight up creative way to handle like modern rock music and pop punk in particular. But
yeah.
But my best friend growing up was a guy named Greg, who I used to pick on through his
friend
peed in his hat through his bike.
The guy I used to bully.
Shit.
Yeah, Greg and I.
Any wedgies? Any Indian burns? Any wet willies?
Broke his collarbone once.
Oh, you just beat him.
Yeah,
until his bones broke.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, what I said was way worse.
I did I used to practice wrestling moves on him.
Hey, Greg, come over here. I got this like killer. What was the Iron Sheik? I got this a camel clutch. I want to practice on your neck.
Yeah, I was a fucking dick to Greg until about this? Sixth grade, and then we became buddies because we both wanted to start a band dedicated to Blink-182. So
I'd watch a movie about that band being formed.
It was
about
fucking
two
sick, dude.
People like you need, who a bully and a bullied
right.
coming together to form a band and make beautiful music. That's a movie.
That's a goddamn movie.
You push me, I had to. You push me, I had to.
Steven Spielberg, we know you're listening. You can buy the rights for that movie from us.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Greg and I think where I'm from too is just, you know, it's a little bit of a
your beatings made me stronger, man.
It's a little bit of a cultural vacuum. So I think a band like Blink-182 that kind of crossed over from SoCal punk, this kind of Southern California. I think when you're not from Southern California, is like this wonderland of like it feels like a foreign country,
and everything is just
perfect,
so perfect,
everything
great.
Just looks
sunny
so fucking perfect,
everyone's
so
good looking and surfs to school.
I was literally listening to Blink-182 playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater constantly.
What a good time.
I love that game. It was a pretty sick game.
Fucking sick, dude. So
who did you play with?
Who's my skater?
Chad
big, Buckley.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah.
You Chad Muska?
Chad Buckley, the fake one. I just
okay.
That's pretty close.
Chad Muska was
question,
one.
Question, real quick. Chad Muska, he's the one who had zippers in the tongue of his shoes.
Yeah, for drugs.
Yeah. I was a poser and I had those shoes, and a kid called me out and was like, "When are you putting those zippers?" And I was like,
"My spare key."
Butterfingers. It was embarrassing.
I was a poser.
I was a poser.
Zippers on your tongues, your shoes, was really popular in the 90s in general. There's a few different brands that had. Remember Kangaroos had a pouch on the side?
Yeah.
Those shoes were sick.
Kangaroos.
You had like enough to put two quarters in there to call your mom or anything.
Pretty much. Put in the payphone. Call your parents.
Calling my mom.
Who was yours? I was a big Jamie Thomas fan. That was my guy. I think he was on Tony Hawk 1. I'm pretty sure.
I'm drawing a blank on all the players. I feel like
you had Alyssa Steamer. You had Tony Hawk. You had.
Could you play with Tony Hawk?
Yeah, of course. I think so. Maybe. I haven't fucking played it in so
long. You could, right?
Yeah, we could research this probably.
Bucky
Lasik. You were confusing two players.
But I'm going to make a Chad Buckley composition picture and post it on our Facebook.
Well, you were. Chad Muska was on Tony Hawk 1, I'm almost positive. Right?
Yeah, I think I combined Chad and Bucky.
1999. God damn. Bob Burnquist. I remember he was on this shit.
What? Man. Where are you on the wiki?
I'm on the Wikipedia page, yeah.
Chad Muska looks like such a little shit.
I don't think it doesn't have. Oh, Chad Muska, yeah, he was like a stoner bad boy.
He was a bad boy.
Tony Hawk 1 skaters. But anyway, so we dug real into Blink-182.
I bet.
Now, it's a goddamn shame that I can't talk to you guys about their best records, but...
I know. You just get blank stares.
We get blank stares. Andrew
I
think Reynolds.
I was a Rune Glifberg kind of guy.
Rune Glifberg. You were a...
Birdhouse.
He's a Vert guy, so he was big in the Vert world.
I don't know. Yeah. That game was fun, man.
I don't know. Yeah.
Do you want to know what I did after school instead of listening to Blink-182?
Yeah, let's hear about this.
Makes me sound really crazy, and I'm sorry about it, but I would record daily, like daytime soaps while I was at school, and then I would come home.
Is that not the Kelly Diaries?
Different. What was already on
TV. I'd record The Young and the Restless, Guiding Light, and... Cool. You know, As the World Turns.
Right.
And then I'd come home, watch it, force my dad to watch Fox News upstairs because I was like, this is where the TiVo is, Pops. And then I would put the bird seed, because we had parrots, I would pull the bird seed up to me so I could crack open bird seeds with my teeth and then spit out the insides all over the family room.
What?
So
So
you would just become a bird and then you would litter.
Yes.
Did you have rugs or hardwood?
Rugs.
So like, hypothetically, the shells are dug into the rugs.
I got to the point where my mom accepted that this was a strange, like, anxiety attack behavior I was doing.
This was your
where
version.
She gave me a bowl to put the seed shells in, but the innards went everywhere.
It's a good move.
I'm
so confused at why you would do that.
I honest to God think it was like a psycho anxiety thing.
Like you're like you're gonna
like
you're
repetitive
gonna kill
things.
Us all.
Yeah. Like one day I'll kill you all.
Okay, that makes sense.
You sound like like a wealthy tycoon who's just
some Grey Garden shit.
Yeah.
That is exactly what that is.
Granny,
I'm
welcome
fine.
Out of a room. She's...
eating bird seed.
He's eating bird seed again.
Staring at the wallpaper.
Granny soaps.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's my stories.
You would be such a great wealthy industrialist.
Oh, I know. God. I know.
We got to get you a cool bill.
What movie was that?
Howard Hughes.
Ryan Johnson had that movie. It was the brothers something. It was all about these two guys who did a heist with some crazy, like that eccentric crazy woman.
Interesting.
It's a fucking awesome movie.
I don't know, but Dog Boobs is starting to remind me of Howard Hughes more and more.
Pretty close.
I've
seen you in the cockpit of a flight. It's pretty impressive.
It's pretty. Yeah.
You have the need for speed. Wow. Yeah, that's true.
It's starting to come together. I'm going to make a list of all the reasons I might be him. Okay.
All the reasons you might be him.
I like, do a Venn diagram. Cool. Am I or am I not Howard Hughes?
Okay. Right.
So getting back to Blink-182. So a beginner's guide. So going over a couple of the posts, and then we're going to get into the real reason.
The real meat.
The real meat and why we wanted to cover Blink-182 today. So if you're foreign to Blink-182, I tell you right now, most of their music does not age super well. So you're going to listen to it and you're going to be like, this is fucking trash. But you got to remember, for kids who are in Ohio and were dreaming about sunny California, Blink-182 and Tony Hawk Pro Skater really set the bar high.
That was it in a nutshell.
And it was such a style, the way they sang.
They did. They brought in like the Dickies. They brought in the Dickie Shorts thing. They represented a weird
an era.
Time. Yeah, and they were...
And also, kind of the reality TV of it all, like more and more sort of home video footage was sneaking out. And you're like, wow, these kids in this high school live like that?
Totally.
Yeah. We should be more like punk rock.
That's crazy.
That's where they're doing it.
Even as someone who didn't listen to them growing up,
MTV.
I was so influenced by them, indirectly.
It. Yeah,
I was wearing Chad Muska shoes. I mean, wait, what?
Everybody became a poser because of Blink-182.
Yeah. We were wearing wheelies, dude.
Wheelies are fucking sick.
Yeah,
dude.
I love.
I need to get some wheelies.
I mean, there's no argument there.
There's zero argument there.
I will argue with you a lot about most things.
I think they're going to be one of those bands. We've been seeing this a little bit with like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and shit too, where it's like. NSYNC less because I think JT is so fucking top of the world, right?
Yeah.
But like none of the Backstreet Boys really did anything. So every once in a while they'll like pop back into culture for like the Backstreet Boys performing at this regional casino on New Year's Eve. Well, and it's just like
they're touring. What? Blink's touring, or they've been touring.
Well, they're
with Mark and Travis, but
Mark Tom. Travis and Matt Skiba.
They're back out on the road making that like sort of
And they're still cool, and I think that they're
people are still into.
As is evident by this sub, right? And this sub doesn't. I mean, this sub has how many did we say? It's like 20,000.
Yeah,
some shit?
Just over 20,000.
Which
you
is
just
like,
don't play massive shows. You play like under 10,000 person shows.
But there was a time though that they were playing
arenas.
Crazy shows. I mean, I've seen Blink-182 three times, I think. And time was at like it was like Blossom Music Center or something in Akron, Ohio, and it was like a pretty goddamn big place. And I took my dad, his first concert I ever went to was me and my dad my friend Carson, I think Carson went with me.
Was he in Slumber Club?
He was in Slumber Club, and it was the most vulgar, embarrassing show because their live show was like it's designed for 17-year-old boys, right? And I was 11 maybe at the time.
With your dad.
With my dad. So it was just like, holy shit. This is awful, right? And then I saw him again a couple years later.
That's pretty sweet. You went with your dad to
Blink
show.
I know. Blink-182. Blink-182, Bad Religion,
I'm
Phoenix
just picturing
CX,
your dad like, okay.
Yeah, he was, because my dad was into like Emerson, Lake and Palmer and Led Zeppelin.
It's
and
never
shit, so.
Ever going to match
no.
up.
So I he mean, was definitely like, this is trash music, but I'm going to entertain this because hopefully you realize how garbage this music is.
Yeah, but you're young. And
right.
I went with my dad to see this movie called If Looks Could Kill with Richard Grieco.
Nice.
It
was sick. Richard Grieco.
But so there was that, and then the second time I saw him was on their, I want to say it was the Blink-182 self-titled album tour. And Travis, so at this point they were like a bona fide success, like undeniably, you know, one of the biggest bands in the world.
Right.
Or at least one of the biggest bands in America. And it was, I want to say it was in Columbus, and it was like in a fucking, like Coliseum.
Damn.
And then Travis, in the middle of the set, he does this crazy drum solo, or did this crazy drum solo where his whole drum set is on like a roller coaster track. And so it goes out in the middle of the stage, and then it starts spinning. So he's like upside down drumming. It was fucking crazy, dude.
That's cool.
It was insane to see. And I think Green Day was on that tour too. So it was like Green Day and Blink-182, too, which is huge. I mean, when you think about even like Green Day is another band that you're just like, they are very much embraced by the mainstream rock culture as like a big fucking band, right?
Right.
So anyway, what's
the difference? I feel like they have more respect than Blink.
Blink kind of became.
Did they evolve more?
Well, Blink was
have like interpersonal conflict.
They did have interpersonal conflict, so they broke up. Right, they broke
that's probably
up,
why they
and
couldn't.
Then they got back together, and they broke up again. Right, and last time I saw them a couple years ago, and I saw them as the main lineup. So it was Travis, Mark, and Tom, and it was very clear watching them. They were like, did not want to play together.
Ooh.
Like, they were not happy to be together.
Yikes!
Why, you think?
Love triangle. Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like I don't totally know the history of why they fell apart, but I think
Project Bluebeam, right?
Well,
maybe
we'll get to that, but it's definitely a part of it. But anyway, so they were a big part of my childhood. Okay, so now let's get into the juice of this flipping thing. So if you want to explore their sub, explore their sub, be real quick. One of the top, so the top post of the past month. There is a beginner's guide to Blink-182, right? And so if you're like, holy shit, like,
that's what
I've
need.
Never heard of them, or like, I need a starting point, right? Start with Enemy of the State. It was, you know, it was like the album that kind of made them famous. If you're more into like punk stuff and you have a little appreciation of like pre-pop punk blow up, you can listen to Dude Ranch, which was like, came out in 1997. It was very good. They had a different drummer and it was like pretty raw.
Pretty cool.
Cheshire Cat right before that, and then Blink-182, their self-titled record, is actually a very good record. Terrible album cover, but dope record.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to it the other day. It actually ages pretty well because they were kind of going through a like, where do we take this immature bullshit thing go?
Right.
Where do we take this from here? So they started doing some interesting stuff, and then you have Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, which is
right
a fucking ridiculous album title.
Best title ever.
Yeah. And
I thought that was the most clever joke all time.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, you guys, you get it,
right?
I mean, because what they're saying is, get it, jacket, like off, like,
So 2011 or 2001, that was like high school. What were you, a senior in high school at that point?
2000, I graduated. So, I was
so you're like freshman in college, which is basically a senior in high school.
Oh, yeah.
So
I had not matured at all.
No. Yeah. That was, and I was, we were what? We were freshmen in high school, maybe?
Probably. Groups. Yeah.
So anyway, dig into their discography. You know, this is one of those subs where it's a little insider baseball, obviously. You kind of got to be a fan of it to like really get what's going on.
But if you are, it seems like a fun community.
It's a community for people who just like the fucking band. It's simple and it's good. And, you know, you're not gonna get any new information. You're just going to be a lot of regurgitating stuff that you're just like, hey,
like,
guys,
remember
when this happened? Like, I just got a new Blink-182 tattoo. And everybody's just like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, keep it going.
Man, keep up the thing. And they're still playing. And, you know, Mark is a pretty eloquent. I don't know if eloquent's the word, but he's like a.
He seems
cool, man.
Yeah.
He's a guy, nice,
well-spoken.
Right.
He looks good. He's not like bloated and neck-fatted out.
Travis is a full-blown celebrity, as most people know. He had a show on VH1 called Growing Up, Living with the Barker or some shit.
And Shanna Mochler was his girlfriend, right?
No idea.
The Playboy chick.
Yes, yeah. And they had a very tumultuous relationship.
Yeah.
Weird. That's ironic. I would never picture that.
No, me neither.
Crazy. And so Tom, though, now this is where things get weird.
This is where things get, I don't know, celestial.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this
so
is.
If so if you're driving to work right now listening, right.
Pull over, get in the bushes and curl up.
And take off your pants and jacket.
Yeah.
Blammo.
Now we're were talking about jerking off. That was a legitimate jerk off reference.
Jerk off on the highway.
Yeah, you don't have to get out of your car. Jerk off on the highway.
So Tom. Now Tom has been a successful businessman since kind of leaving the band. I think that was ultimately why he left the band. If you are a Blink-182 fan, or even if you weren't, because I think it was somewhat common knowledge, you would know that they had a alien theme that kind of ran through some of their music. And once the band started kind of going off the rails a little bit, I know they had a song called Aliens Exist, and then when the band started exploring side projects, Tom had a project called Aliens and Airwaves, which received relative pop success. Had a couple cool songs. I think maybe Travis was in the band too. It's pretty good. It was a little bit of an all-star band. I think they had other some guys from other bands that were very popular. But since then, he has continued this whole alien thing to an extreme degree, right? And the reason we wanted to do this sub, and why it was holy shit, and why it was recommended to us, is because at the end of last year, an article came out in the New York Times. It was on the 16th of December, called Glowing Auras and Black Money, the Pentagon's Mysterious UFO Program. And it was very weird, right? It's a very strange article, because it's about the secret programs that the government has specifically designed to investigate sightings of UFOs.
Can you edit in the X-Files song?
Yeah, of course.
Before we said that.
Yeah, of course.
I think it'll be wild. One of us could probably sing it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the X-Files song.
Really good.
It's kind of like a tone-deaf version.
Yeah. X-Files is a weird show. Some episodes are pretty good, and some are like very campy.
Yeah. Well, but those are my favorites.
And those are kind of fun. You're like,
do an X-Files episode.
Oh, we will.
The Sewer Man.
Yeah. Sewer Man.
Oh my God. Sewer Man, or the guy who can just like slip under doors.
And oh, he's the Rubber Man?
So gross. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, that show, some people, it genuinely scares them. Aliens, for me, they don't scare me.
No.
They don't. The prospect of them don't scare me, because they're so unlikely and kind of, you know, there's so many things that has to happen for an alien to kind of kind of work its way into your life.
Plus, you're packing about 3 or 4 swords. So
yeah, at least right.
Then I just feel they don't wear clothes, so where they, you know, they don't have any swords.
I feel like it would just be a story. You know what I mean? Yeah. It wouldn't be like, I wouldn't feel in danger. And then if they kill me, then I'm fucking dead. Who cares, right?
Mm-hmm. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna just not leave your basement anymore because you're afraid of aliens?
Yeah.
Well,
come on, get out of here.
Do you guys have you heard of Stephen Hawking's take on aliens?
Yeah. He's that idiot in the wheelchair, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He has a really good
I've heard
thing about aliens. Basically, like, totally paraphrasing because I can't Google this fast, but he's like, we shouldn't want to find aliens, because if we find aliens, that means they have the technology to get into our space, which means they're either looking to enslave us or kill us. Like, that's pretty illogical. Yeah, it means
they're not here to visit Disneyland or like hit up South Florida.
It means that their planet no longer has resources and they've come to our planet to mine it.
Well, is there any chance though that they would be coming here solely to do what we would do, which is, you know, you go over
assimilate?
There and you go. Yeah, simulator. I don't know. I mean, you feel like there's a...
Like, got any jobs?
I think his logic is to make it that distance, it feels like desperation, which makes it think like if you're going that far. But that brings up the whole other thing. Like, our idea of life is so different than what other life could be.
I mean, if aliens came over here and they dropped down and they were like, holy shit, can you believe this place? Look how dumb these people are. I feel like if it's like the first point of exploration, they're going to do what we would do, where you just land on this place and you kind of like give high fives, tell the commander back at home base that you landed, and then he goes, cool, look around. He's not going to be like, cool, kill everything and mine their resources. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and it would take a while to kill everybody.
Yeah, so it's...
Unless they have some super weapon, which we can only imagine.
They probably do, but...
Radiation gun.
Anyway, so all this alien talk.
Yeah,
so
really quickly, I have to believe in aliens, sorry.
Well, really, why don't we dig into this thing? Why don't we explain this article, and then we'll get into our perpetual beliefs, etc.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right, so this New York Times article came out last year. The opening line from the article in the $600 billion annual defense department budget, which is fucking crazy.
Wow.
There was $22 million spent on the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, which is almost impossible to find, right? So somebody was looking for the budget. We saw this, and that's exactly what the Pentagon wanted you to think, right? So this whole thing is about this program, right? The Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. And it talks about how Harry Reid is the guy who kind of pushed for the funding of this. He's the, you know, the senator from Nevada. I think Nevada is one of those places where it's a big hot spot for this kind of conversation.
Area 51.
That's not in Nevada, but it's close.
Where is Area 51?
Oh,
but damn it.
But it's the same
Nevada?
Idea.
Yeah.
Area 51? I thought it was in New Mexico.
Nevada.
Oh, that's Roswell is in New Mexico. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, well, cool.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Yeah, I guess you're right. So Area 51.
They're all the same, dude.
They're all the same.
The desert's the desert.
I think I'm trying to cover up the fact that I didn't know that Area 51 and Roswell weren't the same thing.
We caught it.
I actually didn't.
We called
either.
You out because we love you and we want to make sure you get better at this.
Can we get some verification on that? I'm having a Kratom brain right now.
Oh,
Roswell is in New Mexico.
Kratom will do that.
Area 51.
Kratom will eat a hole in your brain. That's the only side effect.
Nevada.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Didn't know there were two different things. That's cool.
That's cool.
So anyway, so Harry Reid was pushing for this thing.
And successfully obtained funding for it.
And then, so this whole article is about this program, right?
And it's like, where did this money go? They spent $22 million for the purpose of collecting and analyzing a wide range of anomalous aerospace threats, ranging from advanced aircraft fielded by traditional U.S. adversaries to commercial drones, to possible alien encounters.
Right.
And that's where it gets weird, because honestly, something called, what do they call it? The Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. That could be something totally legit, like keeping an eye out for shit from Russia or something.
Right. Yeah.
But
I mean, if that's the case, though, you need more than $22 million to do that shit.
But
right?
Harry Reid was quoted as saying, "I'm not embarrassed or ashamed or sorry I got this thing going. I think it's one of the good things I did in my congressional service. I've done something that no one has done before." And he remains extremely excited about the idea of aliens.
You need a defense. You need a plan in place. Right?
Yeah.
You can't not because... You know,
well, this
sort of
feels investigative. I feel like this is a little bit we're digging into it.
You just need a branch of government that's like, look, like we're waiting. We're sniffing. Maybe you don't need to spend a lot.
And when you think about it, this aliens as a concept. So here's where we can talk a little bit about our belief in aliens, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've got this bizarre ambivalence towards aliens, right? Where I'm kind of like, I don't believe them in them because I'm kind of like, I don't believe in them because I feel definitively like I need to.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't not believe in them.
Yeah.
It's kind of sits in this weird gray area for me where I just kind of go,
where I'm like, I don't care enough to
take
a stance.
Shit. You know what I mean? It's like, I think that by all basic logic, one would assume that there are aliens somewhere. What those aliens manifest as, who fucking knows? They could be DNA in all of us where it's like, you know, you look at your DNA on you know, 23andMe.com, and it's like, oh, you've got this weird part in like southern Eurasia, right?
Yeah.
Where like all your grandparents are from, and it's like, you know, we don't realize that that's actually an alien species who landed here, and then we just kind of procreated and became part of our world, right?
We all have friends that look like aliens.
Yeah.
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 You know, like,
totally.
You know,
I kind of do from certain angles
because
I've got an overbite.
Yeah, it's like a six inch overbite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It gets stronger the more calm and
it's
comfortable
like,
I get.
Yeah, when men get older, ears get bigger. When women get older, their overbite
just grows
north.
That's amazing.
That'll pretty happen. Scary.
So that's something you tell your kids so they don't like mouth off.
Yeah.
What do you think, Fried? Do you believe in aliens?
Oh yeah, I'm all about it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Tell us about your belief system.
In general, it's more fun to believe. So,
okay, I agree with that.
So
I definitely
why not?
Agree with that.
I mean, if either way, we're not going to know the answer. So if you had to pick, yes is more fun. So I'm like, let's do yes. And then two, I mean,
if you
just kind of listen to the Neil deGrasse Tysons of the world break down the numbers, I got to believe in the logic of that. Within like the trillions of galaxies.
Right.
Yeah, it's impossible that there's not.
And it already seems like there's plenty of water out there.
Yeah.
They find like frozen water, which means there's probably some sort of bacteria, which means, okay, there's mm-hmm. life.
Okay.
I don't know if it's like a guy like me, but it's
right.
there's
yeah.
like some, there's critters.
I don't know, so, the old man
so
with a long white beard.
Yeah. I'm pretty, I don't know, I'm not convinced, but I'm like, you know, happily optimistic that it exists.
So, so by that logic, then, do you, now this is kind of the extension, do you believe that we have, have they've landed? Do you believe that they're walking among us? Do you believe any of that stuff?
Like lizard people, skinwalkers?
I think that's like creative speculation. I'm a lot more on your camp where I'm kind of like, I think it's out there.
I don't, but you know what? Like there's things called giant squid and octopus and fucking giraffes. Like
that's true.
Pretty interesting. Yeah. You know, if we went to Pandora on whatever the movie was that used the shitty papyrus font.
Right.
What's
that movie called? Avatar. You know, that movie's all about like going out in nature and seeing cool stuff. And if you just went out in nature here and like looked around, it'd be pretty mind blowing too. So, and I think we're all just sort of jaded by the fact that we already know about it. So I don't know, dude. I mean, we have kind of our version of aliens.
Well, I don't think anybody will ever take I don't think anybody will take like, yes, aliens exist for an answer if it's mundane, right?
How long would it, exactly.
If we found out that like the bluegill was an alien, and they were like, that's the only one we've ever discovered, but it's definitely an alien. It came from another place. Everybody'd be like, man, what's fucking boring?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. If there's, if let's just say an octopus, because like, they're pretty interesting creatures, pretty smart. If someone was like, yeah, those are aliens, you've just already known about them.
Right.
Or what you just, that's what you just said, would be bored pretty fast. But if like the little gray men showed up tomorrow and there was like a couple thousand of them, in how many news cycles would it take till we were bored of it and like over it? Like, till some like new congressman sends a picture of his dick and we're like, hey, did you hear about this dick pic?
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but there's aliens. Like, oh, that's old news.
I wonder.
So I don't know.
Yeah,
I think,
fine.
Would we get over it?
It also depends on like, I mean, I guess what aliens would do, the discovery of aliens would in some capacity be like the discovery of God or like heaven, where somebody was like, no, it's true. I've been there. It's a real thing.
Yeah, here's
proof. It would change the way we deal with a lot of bigger philosophical issues. Like we're not the only one. So like, what is? It would change the trajectory of like space travel, and it would probably force everybody to create more of an industry around space travel, right?
And if the little gray man was like, or woman, or let's just say little gray they,
a little gray they.
You know, they show up and they're like, look, your planet's fucking bananas right now. Like it's like really nice. You guys have water. There's birds. The temperature's perfect. Like where I come from, it's like, you know, I live in like a pot of soup.
Yeah.
And it's like really uncomfortable.
Soup land.
Like it takes me 16 weeks to find something to eat.
Right.
And you're like, man, that sounds shitty. Like,
come
so
hang, dude.
Would we then take better care of this planet if we had information about how good we have it versus how shitty it is out there? That could be a beneficial piece of information where we go, hey, look, let's stop it with the plastic.
Maybe.
Or would people just go like, that's cool, you fucking liar,
yeah,
we're gonna keep mining oil.
I think that's what we would do. I think we have fostered psychopathy to too much of a degree to where no matter what people say in defense of I don't know, like the environment or whatever, we're always going to end up trying to destroy it. But anyway, okay, so
here are the blueprints to
get back to the Blink-182 issue, because I don't want to lose our friends here. But
I found a good explanation for how this all connects back to Blink-182.
Okay, so why don't you get in that? Okay. So that's the article. You should check it out. Boobs.
Definitely.
Hit us with that Tom DeLonge shit.
So here's kind of a breakdown of why this is a big deal right now and why people are talking about it. So, like we said, it all started with this $22 million and this long push by Harry Reid to investigate aliens. So, if you go back to that, it started in 2007. It was largely funded by this guy, Reid's request. He persuaded this fellow Nevadan who founded a hotel chain, an aerospace startup named Bob Bigelow, to like join him and put more money into it. So they ended up creating something called Bigelow Aerospace, which was a space technology company and government contractor.
I just saw 60 Minutes on that. It's legit.
It's a
real thing. But they funneled the money into that to search because he believed in it. And Reid's like, if no anyone's gonna find it, it's gonna be Bigelow. So they
it's gonna be Jim.
His name's
fine.
His names are fantastic.
What's crazy is all these senators, like Democrats, Republicans, supported the program, but none of them went public about it on the Senate floor. So they Reid said it was so-called black money, referring to the Pentagon budget for classified programs. All these people know about it, but that's it. That's how we wanted it. Everyone doesn't know about it. So when the New York Times reported on it, it was like, oh boy, like that was never disclosed. That's one of the driving reasons why the deep state is a big thing right now. People are really getting into the whole idea of deep state and shadow governments and shit But anyway, so they ended up finding pretty much nothing when they did this. So the Pentagon killed the program in 2012, but former head has still not given up. So this is where Blink-182 comes in. So they are now working for a for-profit company called To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, co-founded by Thomas DeLonge.
Tom DeLonge.
I mean, this company even reached out to Hillary Clinton's campaign manager because he was like, she's going to have our UFO back in 2016.
Wow.
So that didn't pan out.
Nope.
But
we have it all figured out. Right.
The company's mission is to be a powerful vehicle for change by creating a consortium among science, aerospace, and entertainment that will work collectively to allow gifted researchers the freedom to explore exotic science and technologies with the infrastructure and resources to rapidly transition them to products that can change the world.
That is a ridiculous statement.
That is a lot of words.
That's also like the most generic. Yeah, like we're trying to do good.
Yeah,
for
we do
money.
Stuff yeah. for money.
Yeah.
So that's how he comes into it, is that he's helping this to continue now without government funding. That's what it seems like.
And he's sort of the voice of it, and he's popular, obviously, and he has like a big platform.
Right.
So right.
He's just
he's a good spokesman.
He's good.
Maybe. Well, I think ideally why they were using him or why people supported him is because he's young, he's hip.
Right.
People know who he is and he can get the message out. What they didn't plan on was that he just comes across as a nut. You know, like there's
so
if he was Neil deGrasse Tyson about it,
exactly,
was like a little more logic based,
scientific, a little bit more graceful with the way he talks.
Not like B.O.B. who's like,
we all might be eating
the world's flat.
Totally. Yeah, we might be eating space soup right now.
Totally. So,
but we're not.
Yeah. So that's the deal. And now, since if you go to the stars academy.com, right?
Something yes. Like mm-hmm.
You'll see a big pitch from Tom DeLonge. You can hear him talking over VO. He is the spokesperson of this organization. And it's well documented within the Blink-182 community, but beyond, that he's just a fucking alien nut, dude. This guy loves aliens.
A real Mulder.
Real Mulder. And now, that said, so we were talking about him being crazy, right? So, A, Blink-182 kind of fell apart. People speculate that Tom had a big part of it because he was just kind of, maybe not the most pleasant, maybe kind of going off the rails. He is legitimately a successful business person. Like, he has a couple different companies, and he's kind of... I heard an interview with him. I think this was on the Rogan interview or maybe another one, but he was talking about how I think he had an epiphany that the band wasn't going to last forever. So he started putting money into investments, I think, or something. And ended up, he had his company called Atticus, which is a clothing brand. He has Macbeth, which is a very popular shoe brand. And then he had like a digital agency or some shit. Anyway, so To the Stars comes. It's kind of his dream project. He goes on the Joe Rogan podcast to kind of talk about it, because Joe Rogan, for anybody, I mean, everybody probably knows about the Joe Rogan podcast at this point, especially if you're listening to this podcast, but smart guy, loves entertaining conspiracy theories, loves entertaining shit that's just like, maybe it's off the rails, maybe this person believes in crazy stuff, but like, sure, okay, like I won't deny you the opportunity to discuss it. Tom DeLonge goes on and just sounds like an insane person. Like, just is, but he's talking about all this stuff. But the thing about the interview that's so irritating, and I think everybody should listen to this interview because it's fascinating, but he says this shit with kind of the authority of a real awareness of what it is. But then Joe will be like, "Well, where'd you get that information?" He's like, "Ooh, I can't tell you. I would get in trouble."
It feels like the ultimate bullshit.
Totally,
And it's like, man, every instinct in your body is going like, your bullshit meter's like, nope,
totally,
nope. Like, you got to give me something, man.
He keeps saying these things, and he's not giving proof. Believe me, bro.
That's his only argument.
It's his only argument, and he even says that a couple times. He's like, Rogan is like, well, where did you get this? He's like, from reading about it since I was 20.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're just
from
like,
books,
that's
from
not
other
a,
guys.
Yeah, from watching videos. I don't know.
Like from like pamphlets on the street,
and you're just like, bro, like you're that's what
it's equivalent of garbage websites.
Yeah. Totally.
So, man, I mean, he almost sort of hurts his
he hurts his cause.
Bit.
And then to take it one step deeper, he, I think when if you look on the Blink-182 subreddit, you see posts about it, because I think that people are generally supportive of Tom. And I think that, you know, you have some undying fans that are just like, I'll give money to it. I don't care. But the site itself. So we just talked about this $22 million kind of black money kind of organization. And then if you look at the To The Stars website, they've got these crazy people that are just like ex senior advisor in the NSA or ex, you know, the guy from that actual the Blackwater operation and all these people. And then there's it's like essentially like a GoFundMe account.
Wow.
Where it's like you can click and give money to this group.
Yeah.
To investigate this stuff. And it's just like clearly it just feels like a fucking scam, man.
Yeah.
It's just not the right model.
No.
I mean? Like
the way it's set up is scammy, yeah.
It just feels scammy. I mean, dude, if you're going to do something like that, like the only way you can do it is you have to be like, we have merch. All the money that you give us for the merch goes directly to research.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Like
and also starting with some success. Like
yeah, exactly.
I think the Elon Musk model, which is like, I made a bunch of money in this thing because
totally.
I'm good at stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm gonna take it and build this other stuff. And then like right now, if he put up that gun fund me.
Yeah.
People would probably donate because like he's proven himself.
Totally.
These guys haven't proven shit. And then they won't even offer information.
Totally.
So they keep going, just hey, trust me, man.
Exactly.
They sound like the worst timeshare salesman ever.
Exactly. So if you go to the site to the Stars Academy, you have the video of kind of their big pitch, and it, you know they say some shit that's like relatively impressive, but it's also like, what is this? What is this fucking bullshit? But then if you click on the invest button, so there's a minimum of $200 investment, right? And then
what's that get you?
It doesn't look like it gets you anything.
Like a PDF of a certificate. I like those the best. Like, it's not even paper.
It's like when you buy a star.
Yeah.
It's like you can buy a star for
$15.
You've
adopted a whale in the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, it's like, okay,
we hope if they're still there.
Yeah. So anyway, so there have been 2,557 investors, a bit over a million raised. It's kind of impressive for, I guess, that much. But
maybe. I mean, this is all an advertisement too, right?
It feels like a cash grab, too.
It feels like a cash grab.
Because I think, too, the reason why a lot of people were up in arms about this is, like, the fact that our government would spend $22 million because one senator has a hunch about UFOs is really shocking. And the fact that nobody even voted for this money to go anywhere. And it just points to a lot of people who believe in the deep state shadow government, which is a group like groups of banking families and people who aren't elected officials, but that run everything.
Let me throw this curveball at you two knuckleheads down there, you big poo pooers. I'm gonna pee pee on your poo poo right now.
Okay, bring it
on. Okay, To The Stars. This thing is, first of all, it's called To The Stars .. And then Academy of Arts and Sciences. So I think they're trying to trick us there with the title. But here's my theory. What if the government put the $22 million in, but they're actually putting like $22 billion in? And here's where I'm getting at. You get this dipshit, Tom DeLonge. I'm sure he's a fine guy. Just comes across a little nutty. To be your spokesperson, he comes up with this kind of janky-looking website, and he seems like a phony. And they're raising all this money, and they're saying they're researching the stars. And we all go, this feels like a fraud. These people are idiots.
Mm-hmm. So far, I'm on board.
But goddamn, wouldn't it be the perfect cover for an actual government spaceship agency?
Right.
Like, what
that's
if
some deep,
what
deep
if
state.
This is sort of like the dummy poster of what's really going on, which is not only we're putting this money in, we're putting a lot more. And Tom DeLonge's kind of our distraction of what we're fucking into.
Right.
And dude, I don't know, man. I mean, that's
like the only people who are smart enough and connected enough and know how to stop us would never go to this website.
No.
Exactly.
This website will be like, nah, these people are losers.
But yeah.
It's almost like this happy little false flag.
It's just such a fucking
it's
funny.
So bizarre.
And then, so, now take it one step further. Since we're talking about the deep, oh my God, these stories, these conspiracy theory things, right? And then just the fact that the guy, the guitarist for Blink-182 is intimately involved.
Yeah.
It's so fucking bizarre.
And Blink is coming back into the conversation because of this stuff.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, their popularity has risen because there are stories in the New York Times and on Slate and whatever else.
Exactly.
And they all mention Blink 182. And so people go, oh, yeah, that band. Right. You know, I'm going to bust out my CD and rock a little bit on the car.
Rock,
work,
yeah. So the thing on Slate that we just mentioned. So this was an article that came out on the 19th. So I think the New York Times article came out on the 17th. This came out on the 19th of last year.
Ooh.
How conspiracy theorists on Reddit are reacting to that New York Times UFO story.
Now that's what I want to know.
Side note, I love that all of these big publications are all referencing Reddit as their starting point.
I know, because it's the fucking front page of the internet.
Shout out Reddit, shout out aliens, shout out Snoo.
Yeah, shout out Snoo. Shout out Spess.
The original alien, dude.
Have you noticed, though, that when they talk about Reddit, they talk about it like it's some fucking, like, completely... mythical, mysterious, fucking weird corner of the internet.
There are still people I bring Reddit up to, like in a professional setting, and they're like, I don't go to that place. Like,
that's so insane.
You're like, it's not great. I mean, it's the front page
of the goddamn internet.
Yeah, like, yeah. Where are you going if you're not going to Reddit?
Fucking idiots.
Yeah, it.
Yahoo.com. That's where they're going.
all right. YahooSports.com.
So this article. So after the New York Times published a piece on Sunday revealing the existence of a $22 million. Program in the Pentagon that investigates UFOs, conspiracy spinners were active in the bizarre corners of Reddit, Twitter, and 4chan. Yet, users seem to be consumed less by the possibility of a forthcoming alien invasion. Because this is part of this, too, that I think we're not going to belabor in the article, but the article also talks about, they kind of break down this one video, I think.
Okay.
Right? I don't know if you want to get verification on that, Boobs.
Yeah.
And then, they're less interested in that, and more by the theory that the government is scheming to use fake extraterrestrials to manipulate its population. This is a long-running conspiracy.
I love this.
Called Project Bluebeam.
Whoa.
That was cool. That's a funny sound.
I'm
to
just
make
gonna
sure.
make. That'll be how we do sound effects from now on.
Do it in an Irish accent. God damn it, you're so bad at accents.
I keep fucking doing accents.
You're so bad at it.
So
it's tough to comprehend exactly the false flags without tumbling down rabbit holes, but most of them seem to stem from the writing of prolific conspiracy theorist Serge Monast. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name, but according to Wikipedia, the most reputable source I managed to find on the subject, which is a hilarious slate, by the way. Monast was a self-styled journalist from Quebec who wrote an influential paper in 1994 called Project Bluebeam, which alleged that NASA and the United Nations were working together to simulate an invasion from space using holograms. The world's populace apparently will then abandon all religions and take this hologram to be a messiah, establishing a new worldwide religion that will serve as a string for nefarious puppet masters in the government to set up a global dictatorship, a.k.a. the New World Order, right?
Yep. Here is my one piece, my only doubt.
here's the only reason this doesn't work.
Makes total sense, but this one doubt that I'm having, I don't believe countries like Russia or China would give the power to create a new world order to the United States.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point.
Or
actually,
there's a bigger conglomerate there's like four guys from Russia, four guys from US, and they're all
hiding it. I mean, this is where you kind of get into the Bilderberg shit, where
that's Bilderberg. Yeah, like,
just because somebody is a politician or is in the highest part of the government, that doesn't mean they're a part of, like, the secret shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing about that people talk about with Trump. Like, Trump is a garbage human and a bad president, etc. We got all these things. But, like, when he was in New York, everybody talks about how he was never really accepted in the inner circle of New York. So, in theory, like, with the Bilderbergs concept, it's like, well, you might have, Like, you're not going to have Putin, but Putin will be aware of it, and he's, like, a friend of the Bilderbergs. You'll have, like, his accountant, who's a Bilderberg, and then you'll have, like, you know, like, it's not the Clintons, it's Chelsea Clinton who's a Bilderberg and whatever. And then, like, Trump is like, hey, can I be a Bilderberg? And they go, what? Bilderberg doesn't exist.
Dude.
You know what I mean? That's kind of the vibe.
Sneaky ass shit.
So I think, I have a feeling that in terms of the New World Order and establishing the New World Order, as to your point, I think it would be more like, we have a collection of people who are all in on it.
Yeah.
But it's not really about the governments. It's about the people who... The government is the plaything for the masses to be entertained by feudal matters while all the big countries all collaborate to fuck with us. You know what I mean?
And all these little like petty skirmishes between Russia and the United States are these distractions which keep us stressed.
Yeah, exactly. Or like North Korea. It's like North Korea is a fabricated problem.
Sure.
That's actually a really interesting theory.
Under control completely. And
that's just funny because North Korea is such a goddamn mystery. It's like, talk about aliens. Holy smokes.
Does anybody really know if it's even a thing?
I mean, that's how what fucking if it's a crazy camp? Would that be?
What if it's a camp for aliens?
Can you imagine?
The whole time.
Or not even a camp for aliens. Can you imagine if we found out that North Korea was essentially just a, it was like, you know, the
we're dumping all of our plastics there.
We're dumping all the plastic, but it's like a pegboard Hollywood set where you kind of like, holy shit, this place is fucked. They're going to try to nuke us. And then we find out it's just like that. We've been saying that the whole time so we can manipulate the currency.
Well, if you have a credible threat, you can increase your budgets. And that's kind of what this whole Bluebeam thing's about. It's like Bluebeam is that in a nutshell. It's do we actually know Russia's a threat? Do we actually know North Korea's a threat?
Right.
You know, the news tells us that, but that's pretty easy to manipulate, right?
Totally. Yeah.
I mean, we're doing a podcast, dude. I mean, you know, it costs about $50 to get this thing up and running.
This is very nefarious, though.
What if they are just using this against us to, like, you know, keep their jobs running?
Right.
Keep us scared.
I just found a list of all the steps in Project Bluebeam. So this is interesting. There are four steps.
Venn diagram that shit.
Yeah, we're going to have to do this.
Release enemy of the state. Step two, turn Tom DeLonge into a shill. Step three,
activate Tommy DeLonge.
Tommy DeLonge.
Step three, Robert Bilderberg, a.k.a. Bob the Bilderberg.
Bob the Bilderberg.
He's a guy. There's got to be a Bob Bilderberg.
That is a hilarious concept.
Bob the Bilderberg's coming. He's like the shitty brother.
Why aren't you writing that into a funny cartoon right now?
The Bilderberg, I'm typing
it's like
it down.
It's like an Illuminati-based kids cartoon.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
That's amazing.
I don't know.
You need to do that. You're a TV writer. It's your job. Dude.
All right. Now get this.
Right now.
Let's go to the steps.
Step one requires the breakdown of all archaeological knowledge. This will apparently be accomplished by faking earthquakes at precise locations around the planet. Fake new discoveries at these locations will finally explain to all people the error of all fundamental religious doctrines.
Wait, fake earthquakes? How would you even do that?
I don't know. This makes some degree of sense. If you want to usurp a current way of thinking, you need to completely destroy it before putting forward your own. However, religious belief is notoriously resilient to things like this. The Shroud of Turin, don't know what that is
Turin,
a famous example.
Italy, Turin? It must be.
I don't know.
Yes.
Turin.
Is a famous example that is still believed by many to be a genuine shroud of Jesus as opposed to a medieval forgery that has been that it has been conclusively shown to be. So you pretty much just set off a bunch of nukes underground, all these huge earthquakes and like earth shifting shit, and you make fake discoveries about a new religion that everyone's like, oh, it seems so real. Why am I Christian? Step two involves a gigantic space show. Yeah. But this one's fun. This is Star Wars. Step two, giant space show, wherein three-dimensional holographic laser projections will be beamed all over the planet. And this is where Project Bluebeam really takes off.
Sounds like it's going to happen in CES.
Yeah. The projections will take the shape of whatever deity is most predominant and will speak in all languages. At the end of the light show, the gods will all merge into one god, the Antichrist.
Cool.
I'm down so far.
I think I just bought that shirt today from that man. Antichrist Blue Beam.
This is a rather baffling plan, as it seems to assume people will think it is actually their god, rather than the more 21st century assumption that it's like some Coca-Cola commercial. But basically what would happen would they would accomplish this with the aid of a Soviet computer that will be fed with the minute physiopsychological particulars based on their studies of the anatomy and electromechanical composition of the human blah, 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 blah. Not important. It's going to be holograms. Right. Holograms that all go from being frickin' Krishna and Jesus and right. Allah, and they get together and they form a centaur called nice. The Antichrist. Cool. Step three. It's telepathic electronic two-way communication. It involves making people think their god is speaking to them through telepathy projected into the head of each person individually using extremely low frequency radio waves. We've heard about this before. Remember with Elisa Lam
right.
and the invisible light?
Oh, yeah. Shit? The invisible light.
Low frequency shit yeah. that maybe only she heard.
So do you think she was a test case? Possibly.
Atheists will presumably hear an absence of Richard Dawkins. Okay. The book goes to some lengths to describe how this would be feasible, whatever. Step four has three parts. One, this is wrapping it up. Making humanity think an alien invasion is about to occur at every major city. Two, making the Christians think the rapture is about to happen. And three, a mixture of electronic and supernatural forces, allowing the supernatural forces to travel through fiber optics, coax, power, and telephone lines to penetrate all electronic equipment and appliances that will then have special microchip installed. So all hell's going to break loose. And that's the New World Order. You just destroyed literally everything.
New World Order.
So he has.
It's a good way to control people if you could use
you destroy
like,
everything
internet
they
signal,
know.
Cell phone, whatever.
I mean, is like, that really. Like, if you're going to be the New World Order, do you want to go through that many lengths to get there? Like
to get people to do what?
Listen to what they want the New
people
World
are
Order to be.
Pretty fucking like lame as like a
well,
group.
The people I mean, who yeah. want this Most stuff to happen are psychos.
Right.
So like this would be the New World Order according to that Monast guy. All people would be required to take an oath to Lucifer with a ritual initiation to enter the New World Order.
Oh my God.
Number one, Christian children would be kept for human sacrifice or sex slaves. Number two.
All this is traditional cult stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Prisoners would be used in medical experiments.
Already happening.
Three. Prisoners right. will be used as living organ banks. Already happening.
That's,
healthy
yeah.
workers in slave labor camps. Nose? Uncertain prisoners in the International Re-Education Center. Fence to repent on television and learn to glorify the New World Order. Six, the International Execution Center. And seven, an as yet unknown seventh classification.
What? So they're like speculating. We don't even know what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, so this is fucking nuts. And if this is something that predates something that the Pentagon started funding,
oh
like
it,
the fact that they're even loosely related is freaky as fuck.
That is so funny.
That's
weird,
way
man.
More messed up than I thought it was.
I mean, yeah. well, but oh, God damn it.
I like that International Execution Center. What is that? Like,
right? You just
there's like an island somewhere.
Everybody just comes over and gets killed there.
I mean, I understand that.
Never mind. I was going to say we should just shoot people into space and see how far they go.
Yeah.
Like, hey, just radio back when you find something.
Let us know when you're there.
Yeah. Like
see
George,
you, Jeff.
Like George
yeah.
Clooney did.
Yeah.
That one movie.
I mean, I don't. The New World Order stuff I always find so absurd and so ridiculous, but I think that the government does a lot of things to try to control people, and the idea of creating false prophets is a pretty goddamn good way to do it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there was.
Oh, you mean like Kanye West and Kardashian?
Yes.
That's one way. That's one part. I mean, I guess one technically I mean, one way of.
And
profit,
when
but.
You think about the whole world population, like it's not just people like us that are in big cities with tons of access to information and shit. Like
right.
there are tons of people that are living under horrible conditions in complete poverty, who are illiterate, that if they saw a projected giant Jesus in the sky, they would think that was real.
They would lose their shit, yeah.
Either Jesus or Yeezus.
Or Yeezus.
Either one.
Yeah.
I mean, but somebody was telling me yesterday about how, I don't know if this is true, I mean, it must be true, but how Jackson Pollock paintings, he was part, I don't think he was directly part of the CIA, he might have, but the CIA used to buy his paintings to inflate the price to make him more of a valuable commodity in the art world, to distract from making art that was about counter-cultural movements.
Wow.
Putting pressure on the government.
Wow.
Which
I thought,
which one of those things.
So he was originally an anti-government guy, and so they're like, hey, we got a deal.
He was, so Jackson Pollock paintings are like really mundane, right? They're just like,
it's just like a sneeze. A mask.
Yeah, it's like
a colorful sneeze.
I mean, they're interesting for different reasons, but apparently my friend,
the most
Boobs,
biggest,
you want to do a little research on this?
Yeah.
The most interesting reason is their value.
Well, yeah, their value. But so Jackson Pollock paintings, though, according to my friend, we'll just call him Ho for Show for short.
Ho.
The CIA used to buy his paintings to inflate the value in the art world so that it would also decrease the value in art that actually had a countercultural movement message.
Got him.
So it's like, we know that you're really into punk rock, but like everybody cool is into One Direction. So
that,
you know,
is,
I mean,
nuts.
So the reason I bring that up though is like, I mean, there are a lot of ways to kind of be sneaky about how you're manipulating people.
Oh man.
And I think the government's got a lot of tricky tools that it uses.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see that like in small groups of people. Someone brings up an idea and then people are just not into that person. They'll poo-poo the idea.
Yeah. Even this if is the so idea is true. Good, right?
So you're reading it. You're reading
it.
Yeah,
so this is totally real. So the CIA spent millions of dollars weaponizing modern art against Russia. So there's
so
little
the Cold
more.
The Cold War was like the coolest time to be a conspiracy theorist.
Wow. Yeah. Thinking of how fucking crazy stuff was back then, like, we can't even comprehend.
I liked how practical the spine was. You really needed to pass a note.
Yeah.
If there was a way to do it. Now it's all just a text.
I know.
And you never even know. Anyway, sorry to cut you off.
So it should come only, or it should come as a surprise that the straight-laced feds at the CIA lean towards the former camp that modern art is bullshit.
Right.
Reporters from former agents acknowledge what was always a tall tale in the art world, that CIA spooks floated pioneering artists like Jackson Pollock, Willem de Kooning, and Robert Motherwell to drop an aesthetic nuke on communism.
Wow.
What seemed like a natural popularity of certain artists was in part actually a deliberate attempt at psychological warfare backed by the U.S. government. But why modern art? At the time, the period in question, the 50s and 60s, artistic style of the moment was abstract expressionism, which stood for self-expression, radical self-expression. So if you look at Jackson Pollock, for instance, he's like standing over his canvas, stomping, whipping his brush, like jerking off with paint all over him. So it was wild, it was raw, and from an artistic perspective, like super duper powerful. So the CIA decided, what a perfect weapon. That's just, I'm still
crazy,
not
man.
So it dumped millions. I'm still trying to understand how they weaponized it. So it dumped millions upon millions of dollars to be secret patrons of art world darlings like Pollock. Fake foundations such as CIA, or used as CIA slush funds, sponsored international exhibitions. Former CIA operative says it was pretty easy to wedge your way into the art world when you were backing government cash. The technique was called long leash operations and kept the CIA in the shadows as it sponsored massive organizations like the Congress for Cultural Freedom, which had offices in 35 countries. Like, how?
Yeah, it's wild shit, man. I mean, when we get back to Project Bluebeam.
Yeah.
Like, it does not surprise me that this would be something that people were trying, but the concept of New World Order, I don't think is right. I think it's more a matter of retaining or further establishing a world order within the current strata of world order, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we do this crazy shit, this manipulative art stuff, to get over Russia and essentially keep our stake as the world's new world order, right? Because New World Order, at the end of the day, also, I know it doesn't mean this in the context of the way conspiracy theorists are talking about it, but if you're talking about world order, like, the New World Order will happen when China takes over America in terms of cultural involvement.
Right.
Technically, that'll be a New World Order, right?
Yeah.
And we can, you know, that isn't really manipulative. That's just, like, basic. That's just the way that you know, empires fall and rise, right?
Right.
Like we saw it happen with England, it happened with France, it happened with Roman Empire, whatever. We're going to see it happen in America in the next 6 months. So it's, you know, that's how it's going. But
that's crazy.
What about the UFO that we just saw on the news recently that was all over?
Was that the one from that the article was about?
It was, I think so. It was a fighter pilot took the video, like an American fighter pilot.
I think that's the one.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, so it kind of, I don't want to. I just have to say, when you're done, finish your thought, but I finally figured out the point of the art thing. Go on.
Okay. this video came out, and it was like this grainy footage of this, but it's like a real American fighter pilot from like 2007 or something, and the footage just was released recently. And you watch it, and it's like, looks like a UFO, and it's thing like kind of around, and the guy's like, holy shit, what's that? And like his...
Oh my God,
it all seems real, you know? And then the thing sort of takes off, and the guy's like account of it was like, I never seen anything like it. And it was on the Today Show, and everyone's talking about it. It seemed kind of legit.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to believe. Or it's just a fucking hologram that also looks real to a pilot camera. And the guy saw something. He's like, seeing something.
Yeah, so, especially because some of these things aren't picked up on Doppler scanners.
Because
like,
it doesn't exist. Because
it's a fucking hologram.
So if you want to show something moving really, really fast with like some kind of a strange propulsion mechanism.
Yeah.
It's me with a flashlight and my two fingers in front of it.
Going, woo, 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 wiggity, wiggity, wiggity.
Look at that. It's a flying dog.
My God. I love that.
I mean, some, you know, the government's version of that. What's that fucking thing up in Alaska? HARP?
Yeah.
I don't really know what it is, but it's some kind of a, you know, it's supposed to control the weather.
Oh, really?
It's the high frequency active auroral research program.
Yeah. Wow. AKA a fucking flashlight with two fingers in front of it.
How do you get one of these jobs?
Right.
Like how do you apply for the fucking UFO space program?
I think they hire out of the Air Force.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like if you're in the Air Force and you're like a high aptitude person, which means like, you know, you didn't go to ASU.
Yeah.
And they're
and
like,
you can
hey,
just apply to work at the CIA.
I have a friend actually who was a rep for at production companies or something, who like rep directors, where you're like, oh, you're trying to do a Budweiser commercial? Like, you should hire my buddy or this guy.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, he's like, getting out of that industry because it's pretty brutal, a little cutthroat. He's like, I have an interview tomorrow with, I think he said the NSA. I'm almost positive.
I bet.
And I was just like, what? And he was like, yeah, they need somebody who knows the marketing world. I was just like,
damn.
For the NSA, dude? Like,
that's so wild.
They need to attract people from time to time.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a writer I know who just was in the CIA as like an analyst, and he just sold a TV show about it.
That's so crazy.
But it's like, it's, I don't know. I guess you just, I think it's like test score shit.
Yeah.
We need to put the application on the website.
Yeah, we should all apply. I mean, look, the three of us apply. The stakes are, if one of us gets in, you know, you're off the pod. I mean,
you're off.
Well, they're going to drug test us for kratom, so I don't think any of us will get in.
It's technically still legal. So. Yeah. Grandfather.
Before we wrap it up, I just want to finish with the art thing because it took a while for me to understand what was happening. But it makes sense now.
Cool.
So in the 50s and 60s, Russia had a really realistic style.
Right.
That's why the CIA was pushing for all this like counterculture expressionism, because America's the land of the free. And look at how cool and free our art is. And Russia's locked up, culturally speaking.
So it's propagandizing.
I Google imaged it.
There you go. Done.
I Google imaged it. And there was a picture of Stalin, like very traditional 50s.
Yes.
Him in a suit, like very stoic,
with a big turkey
gray
leg in his hand.
With a huge turkey leg. Well, one hand and then like a go-go dancer in the other.
Yes.
And those and just those star glasses.
Like, what party would you rather go to? That one or Jackson Pollock's party?
Yeah, and then the other picture was Jackson Pollock. So like this contrast is like, look, what you just said essentially.
Like, like who would you rather fuck?
That's interesting.
Who would you rather fuck? Jackson Pollock's butt?
I wonder when we're going to get into it. So we keep hearing about these crazy conspiracies that are being proven right, or they're kind of maybe gotten brushed under the table and they were crazy for a while and now they're like coming out as true. Like there's that big LSD one
the Woodworm documentary.
Woodworm? That's not what it's called.
It's on Netflix.
Wormwood.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Woodworms.
Woodworms.
Wiggleworms.
I got Woodworms. I'm going to have to excuse myself from the table.
But like, you know, Wormwood was, it's about this thing that I think when you read about it, you're like, that is fucking crazy, man.
Yeah. Wow.
But we're going to see shit like that come out. I mean, technically that's the whole point of Snowden, right?
Yeah.
So very easily, I mean, we're kind of, this pod is essentially about that to a degree where, you know, we're, this Project Bluebeam thing may not be real, but...
Or it might be, in 10 years, it's like, that was real.
And
it sounds crazy now until the real evidence does come out. And you're like, because everything we're talking about sounds crazy. I mean, the CIA with the Contra Wars and all that stuff, like bringing crack into South Central. Oh, like
that's so crazy.
All real.
Totally. Yeah.
And at the time when it was breaking in the news was like, you know, poo-pooing.
Right.
Like, this is a conspiracy.
And what was the story that was... What was the one, my favorite from that? And I don't know enough about it, but
there's a bunch of movies and...
Well, there's the one that was about that school that America had in like...
Oh, that's the Tom Cruise movie.
North Carolina or some shit.
Yeah, it was Kentucky or Louisiana.
They brought like militants from South America
to train.
Taught them how to be fucking badasses to overthrow their government. And they go, cool, go back home. Now do your shit. Right?
So that was that. I just watched that Tom Cruise movie. It's about that. And like, there's all these scenes where the guys they bring in from, you know, Colombia or wherever, they're like, we want to stay in America. And they just like run away into the bushes.
That's amazing. Because
they're like, I don't want to fight. Like, but I want to eat Domino's pizza and like watch TV.
And then after that, they all became like psychopathic killers
because they were just trained to murder.
They were trained to do that, and then America just goes, oh, that didn't exist.
Yeah
You know what I mean? It's like fucking madness, dude. Yeah. It's like
destabilizing and dismantling, so all that stuff's real.
And that's what Russia just did with our elections. I mean, they're constantly
trying to destabilize
us,
and look at the State of the Union. It's like pretty
destabilized.
Fucking
rocking.
It feels unstable.
I mean, every time I think about the Russia thing, I kind of go, kudos, man.
Yeah, impressed.
That was pretty good.
That was a long con. They didn't just start that shit last year. They started that shit like 15 years ago.
I mean, I think Putin's been waiting for this moment for his entire life. Or maybe really scary shit. Maybe it's not done yet.
Right.
And maybe this is like, it's kind of get back to the phase one thing. Where it's like phase one, destabilize with a shitty, bad president who came from a reality TV show. Step two, Project Bluebeam. Or step two, like whatever the thing is that... You go, damn, like this is now where we go from here.
Keanu Reeves.
Like step two
in the sky.
Is step two might be hire North Korea to bomb and make sure that Kim Jong-un is out of the country when it happens in Russia, so that when America
rebombs,
he's safe.
He's cool. Yeah. Right? Of course he won't be there.
But that's the kind of shit that I guess is a real thing.
It's a chess game, and guess who's
Blake
good at chess?
Blink-182 is so good at chess.
At the center of it.
Tom DeLonge's the center of it.
Guy's a grandmaster.
Fucking bizarre.
You know, they are good at chess. Think about their Vans. They always wore those checkered Vans.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. You think those were just for
that's
show?
That's some fucking triangle conspiracy illumination.
I'm sure they could play an impromptu game in a road bus.
So, moral of the story. So, tothestarsacademy.com. If you believe in aliens, that's cool. Don't invest in it. It's not a... It's everybody... online is like, do not invest in this. And you can invest in it emotionally and mentally, but don't just give $200 blindly to this GoFundMe that Tom DeLonge's a part of. You get nothing for it,
and like, give me a little bit of sugar for
right. And you know? He's also Tom DeLonge contractually.
We've all been to the Thunder from Down Under.
He's obligated $100,000 a year being a part of this thing. So he's like, he's literally a paid shill on this whole thing. So that's fucking bizarre. I know for all the Blink-182 fans, you thought we were just going to talk about Enema of the State the whole time. Got ya.
Sorry.
But if you are a Blink-182 fan, I mean, it goes without saying, Reddit is the Reddit subreddit for Blink-182 is a really good one. I mean, it's just going to give you more fodder for your fandom.
Yeah, like Nostalgia Central. You'll love it.
But if you're into other shit, like Project Bluebeam and conspiracies, like most of the shit we talk on here, we barely scratch the surface of this.
Just follow the money.
Follow the money. I mean,
Qui bono.
I think the thing that launched this thing came out in the 1989. Yeah. Right? Is that when the article came out? The Quebecois guy.
That's so crazy.
But, so this thing's been going on for a while. So if you want to learn more about it, do some research. We'll post stuff on the website.
Check out HARP. It's not a weather machine. It's a goddamn hologram maker.
It's a hologram maker.
It's
just a guy with a flashlight and two thumbs.
That's right.
Only two thumbs.
Let me show you my cat. Okay, now let me show you my dog. That's all I got right now.
All right.
So let's end this with a couple randoms. Del Boobs, I know you already put one away.
I know.
So, all right.
I'm just going to call out instead of a random. I'm going to shout out Morbid Reality. You are still my favorite subreddit.
Yeah.
And we should do it sometime.
Sad and weird, but we should definitely do it.
Calgary.
Ooh.
On brand for me, getting a off-brand city.
Yeah, that is on brand for you. So I got... This is interesting. So this is about the Columbus Crew, right? It landed on it's the Massive. I don't know why their subreddit is the Massive. this is interesting for two reasons, and then we'll end after this one. Columbus is the Columbus crew. The owner is trying to sell the team, so there's a big. Apparently, there's a big protest in Columbus right now to save the crew, which I think it would be a real shame if they sold the Columbus crew because they're like one of the first institutional teams in the
MLS. Are you talking about football?
Talking about soccer or football? If you're,
American soccer,
American soccer, but. Save the crew. It's a good cause. Whoever the owner of the crew is, I know you're listening. Fuck yourself. You shouldn't sell them. The second reason it's interesting. So I was in Columbus for the holidays with my family because my family's from Ohio. And my brother and his fiance told me that there is a Christian cult exclusive to Columbus called Xenos.
Do they have a sub?
Do you guys know about this shit? I don't think they have a sub, but there's if you search Xenos, I think it's either X-E-N or Z-E-N in Columbus.
You were doing some pretty good undercover work.
Fucking deep, dude. And we're approaching peep cult. Peak
yes.
cult.
Yes.
Wow. So it's like a new Scientology
meets
Heaven's Gate?
It's a relatively new one. I mean, my brother and his fiance were like, everybody in Columbus knows somebody who doesn't talk to them anymore because they joined
Xenos. It's called Xenos Christian Fellowship.
Yeah.
Dude. Non-traditional. We need to do a cult, just a cult. Yeah. We need to do a
this
sub.
It's a good one, dude.
But I want to focus on Xenos. So I think maybe that might be one
That's
we can bring
one.
In next week.
Yeah.
Very rarely do you see a new cult on the scene.
Yeah.
So ever since Heaven's Gate, which is a great podcast I'm listening to right now, guys, it's about Heaven's Gate.
Oh, exclusively about Heaven's Gate?
Yeah, it's like a chapter based one. It's like it sort of like lays out all the details.
I love that.
But I think that could wet our whistles for a little Xenos.
You know, and I think homeboy Hofa Show, who we brought up thousands of times on this pod today, he sent me an email about Heaven's Gate the other day for some reason.
Oh my God.
I don't remember what it was about, but he asked me about it. And I actually was on an email. I emailed Heaven's Gate. Because Heaven's Gate, you can still email their contacts.
They're still survivor. I mean, not everybody killed themselves.
There's like four people that are still Heaven's Gate people.
Yeah.
And they run the website.
Oh, cool. My God.
So if you email like info@heavensgate.com or something.
They'd be like, come by, have a glass of juice.
Well, they were very dismissive when I emailed them. They were kind of clearly like people email them all the time. Be like, is this thing still on?
Yeah.
Holy shit, you're not dead? Are you from heaven, dude?
You're crazy, bro.
Yeah. Shut up, dude. But so Heaven's Gate, crazy. But anyway, we got to wrap this one up. Tom DeLonge, whoa, out there. Mark and Travis are cool. Tom's a little out there, but whatever. They put out good records.
You make the world a more interesting place.
Make the world a more interesting place. Project Bluebeam, what the fuck, dude?
The CIA is evil, just
UFOs.
Like the KGB. Okay,
it's all happening. If you want to learn more about this, you need to dig into it on your own. It's kind of a obviously we can't cover everything that you would need to know about this thing in an hour or an hour plus at this point. Hey, rate us, like us, etc. Facebook, digireddit.com. Did you read it on iTunes, Stitcher, etc., and Patreon?
Buy a shirt, buy a mug.
Buy a shirt, buy a mug. We get like a buck of it, but you know.
But you get that's it forever.
You get it forever, and then you get to tell your friends what it's all about. So, and then if you send us an email, we might just send you one anyway. Fuck it.
Yeah.
We've done it before. So we're going to wrap this one up. Until next time, this is Did You Read It? My name is It's Your Dad.
I'm Dog Boobs.
Happy day.
See ya. Bye.